Christmas season, and it just highlights what we ought to do all year round, and that's celebrate our Savior and the great price that He paid on the cross for our sins. And if you would, this morning, let's take our Bibles as we begin a series this morning entitled The Greatest Gift, and we'll be in Matthew chapter number 1. This morning, if we were to have a title for this, I think I would call it something along these lines, A Gift Like No Other. A gift like none other. Matthew chapter 1, if you can, we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. In Matthew chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that gift, like none other, was God's presence, the gift of His presence, the gift of Emmanuel. Father, we thank You for the time together, these few moments, as we look together through Your Word. We pray that Your Word would do the work in our hearts tonight, this morning, and that Your Spirit would have freedom to move in our hearts and our lives. We thank You, and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated. I read a story about a young boy. His name was Carter, and he sat down at the kitchen table to write a letter to God about the Christmas presents he especially wanted. He began writing this. He said, I've been good for 5 months now. He then paused and then crossed out the 5 months and wrote 3 months. Again, he hesitated. Then he marked out the 3 months and wrote 2 weeks. Finally, he put his pencil down and walked into the living room, and he stood in front of a wooden nativity set that his mother had set up on the coffee table, and he picked up the figure of Mary and then returned to his letter, and he wrote, Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again. Sorry, I thought it was funny. I thought it was funnier. Anyways, oftentimes I think we are like this little boy, and we try to manipulate because we know that it's more than just a small figurine or a small statue, but we're prone to do just likewise and reduce the players in the Christmas story to a set of figures or to just a time of the year. And this morning we want to look for just a moment at the significance of that tiny baby in a manger. It represented the very presence of God. As the angel told Joseph, his name was Emmanuel, and then he defined it for us as God with us, as the gift of His presence. A little boy one time looked into the sky and asked his mother, Is God up there? When she assured him that He was, the youngster replied, Wouldn't it be nice if He would put His head out and let us see Him? What the little boy didn't understand was that God had let us see Him in the person of His Son, Jesus. We don't have to guess what God is like. He's given us His Word. We don't have to wonder if He is alive, because by sending Christ to the earth, our Heavenly Father fully revealed Himself to us. Jesus was manifested. He is the greatest gift. But have we ever stopped to consider what life would be like without Christ's presence? What if Jesus had never come to this earth? My wife has laid out a very strict mandate this year for our Christmas time, for our Christmas tradition, and she's just strongly suggested that we watch the movie It's a Wonderful Life together. Has anybody ever seen that movie? I've never seen it, but she has enjoyed it, and she remembers watching it, and she's just encouraging us that we would do that this year. And in the movie, the main character is led about by this angel. You know, it's a very theologically sound movie, you know, because This main character is wondering what it would be like if he had never been born. And so this angel, of course, leads him about and shows him what the lives of others would have been like without this main character. And in the end, he discovers that his seemingly insignificant life had actually made a profound difference in his family and in his town. And he learned that one person can make a big difference in the lives of others. And I'm sure that we can think of people in our lives, whether it's a friend or a family member or a teacher or a coach or whoever it might be, that has made a profound difference in our life, whether we knew them or were helped by their example from a distance, their presence and their influence changed our life. And if a single human can have this much of an impact on us, consider again what would happen, what if Jesus had never came? The difference his presence can make in our life is incomprehensible. And so there's no question that his presence in our lives is necessary and it's vital. The arrival of a baby, there's no question that the arrival of a baby changes everything. This past week, my youngest brother and his wife had their first baby boy on Thanksgiving Day. He was their Thanksgiving turkey. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what we're going to call him. No, not really. But they had their first baby, and my brother was in there in the hospital room after we were visiting, after the baby had been delivered and everything, and he was like, it just hasn't sunk in yet. This hasn't sunk in yet. And I was like, well, just wait. Because very quickly it will. Once you get that little guy home, once they begin to take over our schedule. They begin to take over the entire schedule and everything, routine that we've got. And when the baby arrives, life and usually sleep is altered. I'll never forget when our boys were born, and nothing reminds us of the miracle of birth like holding a newborn baby. And we got to hold my nephew for the first time, and it was wonderful. Nothing reminds us more of the miracle of birth than holding a newborn. But Jesus' birth was a miracle for another reason. But not only was his birth a miracle, but his arrival was a miracle as well. Because Jesus is God, he couldn't be born the same way through the natural process like you or I were, because He didn't have any sin nature in him. And that's why one day in a small town of Nazareth, a young Hebrew girl received a surprise visitor. Mary actually learned of Jesus' impending arrival first. She was betrothed or engaged to a young man named Joseph and was happily looking forward to the marriage. And Mary's world was forever changed the day Gabriel visited her with no warning and no indication. He just appeared and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women," Luke chapter 1 tells us. Talk about a shock. I can't even imagine the type of shock. I'm quite certain that Mary hadn't prepared for a visit from heaven that day. She especially hadn't prepared for the news the angel brought. Luke 1:29 tells us she was troubled at his saying. But Gabriel had more to say. In verse 30 of Luke chapter 1, the angel said, "Not Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." I can imagine Mary having to take a moment to absorb what she had just heard. Of all things, an angel from heaven had just visited her, and what had he announced? That God in the flesh was coming to earth, and the Lord was going to use her to do that. God himself taking on flesh, coming to live amongst us. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, "He who never began to be, but eternally existed, began to be what he eternally was not, and continued to be what he eternally was." It's a fancy way of saying God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. What does Emmanuel mean? What does God with us mean? It means he genuinely knows you and I. He genuinely knows you and I like none other. When we think about that, when we think about the idea of God with us, we realize that that God understands our circumstances. He understands what we're going through. We live in a very impersonal world. When you think about it, you can do just about anything online. You can shop, you can get groceries, you can do your banking, you can go to school, all in front of a computer screen without ever having to speak to another person. Living in such an environment like that makes it difficult to imagine there's a God who truly knows who we are, who knows us on an intimate level, who really understands us like none other. A God that knows us better than any sibling or spouse or parent can know us, but God really knows everything there is to know about you. What an amazing thought that the God of the universe knows you and desires that you and I would grow to know him more and more. John 1:14 tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came in person. God knows what it's like for us. He came, he lived amongst us. He experienced human life from our perspective and our human limitations. And he knows what we how limited we are. He knows the trials that we go through. He understands the pressures that we feel. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is someone who can understand just how we feel. He can someone who can experience what we're going through. You see, Jesus experienced the pressures of living in a sin-cursed world. The Bible says he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He felt the full gamut of human emotions, including rejection and loss and grief and heartache, as well as joy and encouragement and victory. He knew the harsh realities of government oppression and felt the strain of poverty. He knew about obscurity. He knew about popularity. He ate, he slept, he walked and talked and interacted with others. He grew, he built relationships. In short, he lived what we experience. He knows our needs, he knows our burdens and our struggles. But as God in the flesh, as deity wrapped in humanity, Christ knows what it's like for us, and he can do something about it. This is why Hebrews 4:15 and 16 encourages us to bring our needs to him, because he understands. He says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The gift of his presence means we can bring our needs to him, knowing that he'll understand our hearts and understand our hurts and understand our heartaches and gives grace. Not only does he know us like none other, but he cares for us like none other. When Corrie Ten Boom was a little girl, her father used to tuck her into bed at night, and he would talk and then pray with her, and then he laid his big hand on her little face as a child. And later, when Corrie was imprisoned in a brutal concentration camp, she would ask God to tuck her in and to lay his hand on her face, just as her father had done. She would later write in later in life that would bring me peace and I would be able to sleep, because God, she knew that God cared for her like none other. However, not everyone approaches Christmas with joy and peace. For many, the merriment of Christmas only serves to underscore the heaviness of a loss or emptiness. Others struggle under financial burdens, a lost job, a setback, a foreclosure, and yet Christmas comes whether we're ready or not. Scenic Christmas cards and softly glowing lights seem to suggest that this is a season of perfect nostalgia, a time when everyone can rest and reflect as they make family memories, but reality often says otherwise. You see, real people live real lives fraught with real trouble and real heartache and real brokenness, but we must understand that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. Think about that first Christmas. You see, Jesus, he didn't come into a perfect world. He wasn't born in a perfect setting. He came to a dark world. He came to a sin-sick world, a world full of discord and pain. He was born into poverty and grew up under the strain of political oppression. And Christmas reminds us that this fallen world will never be perfect, but that first Christmas day, God sent the perfect Christmas gift. Remember, though, that this is that Jesus was God in the flesh and that he didn't have to come. He didn't have to endure this. He didn't have to give his life for our sins. He chose to. It was out of his great love. He chose to leave the splendor and the glory of heaven. What an amazing thought. To dwell amongst you and I, amongst men. He chose to live with us, to know us, to love us. And then he chose to lay down his life for us. And he reminds us, as Emmanuel, as God with us, that he stands ready to help us. He cares for us. We have a very present God on our side. Romans 8 reminds us in verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? That very first Christmas shows us Christ's care like none other. Care like none other. One man said it this way, it means that we must remember to allow the light of his presence to shine in the darkest of our circumstances. G. Campbell Morgan once said, what we do in the crisis always depends on whether we see difficulties in the light of God or God in the shadow of the difficulties. Jesus has promised us in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The first Christmas wasn't just a time for Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men. It's not just a simple nativity scene of figurines that we set up as a decoration. It was for us. It was a reminder of God's great love and his great care for us. It's for us. His presence is for us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, after he tells us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Psalms 46 assures us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Jesus' presence with us. Emmanuel, God with us. It's said that King George VI was endeared to his country when he and his wife, Queen Elizabeth, refused to leave London during the darkest days of World War II. Although the Germans were relentlessly bombing the city and there was a legitimate fear for the lives of the royal family, the king and queen stayed with their countrymen. On at least one occasion, they narrowly escaped death when German bombs exploded in a courtyard in Buckingham Palace. Nevertheless, they resolutely stayed and even subjected themselves to the same privations of rationing as the rest of the country. One London newspaper reported an incident in which the king was inspecting a bombed-out section of the city shortly after an air raid. An elderly man recognized this king, and picking his way through the rubble and tangled debris, approached him. He said, "You here?" He choked back with tear-filled eyes. He said, "You in the midst of us?" He said, "You are a good king." Christmas says the same to us. We have a good king. God choosing to wrap himself in humanity that he might give himself for us, our sin, tells us that we have a good king. He indeed is a good king. He is a very present help. He came to our darkest hour, our hopelessness, our ugly sinfulness, and he came to help because of his great love, his great care, and his promises to never leave us. Promises never to leave us. Even in our darkest time, even in the emptiest ruins and the most tangled events of our lives. Oftentimes, though sadly, even though we have the gift of his presence in the middle of our struggles, in the middle of our temptations, in our griefs and burdens, we often try to carry on without God. I think it's because we forget that the gift of Christmas, the greatest gift, is the gift of his presence. He understands. He helps. We studied in Sunday school this morning in Mark chapter 4. Jesus and the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus had sent them to the other side. And the disciples, as the storm began, the storm raged, the disciples began to fear and fear for their lives. And they had forgotten that Jesus was in the boat. Forgotten that Jesus was right there with them. And it's not like this was a new thing. This is Mark chapter 4, the end of Mark chapter 4. They'd seen him do miracles. They'd seen him do wonderful things. And here yet in the middle of all of this, they'd forgotten who he was. I think there's times in the busyness of the year, the busyness of life, it's easy to forget his presence. But he doesn't just offer, the wonderful thing is he doesn't just offer his presence at Christmas time. We ought, just as we've been thinking about Thanksgiving, and we're not just thankful to him one day a year. We're not just thankful to him for one time of the year. His presence is with us throughout our lives as a child of God. It's more than just a stirring sentiment, because he knows us like no other. He cares for us like no other. And then his presence, it also brings not just change, not just stirring sentiment, not just an emotion, but he brings radical change to our lives, a change like none other. From the moment that Gabriel announced to Mary that she would carry the Christ child all the way to the cry of the newborn Christ, Christ's presence changed life for everyone that first Christmas. All throughout Christ's ministry, he changed lives. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He gave words to the mute. He gave strength to the lame. He gave healing to the leper, and even life to the dead. He fed the hungry. He comforted the hurting. His words were words of life, and he lived with grace and compassion. He rebuked the proud. He forgave the repentant. Everywhere he went, he brought radical change. Radical change. He didn't always bring change in circumstances, but he brought change to lives and to hearts. Not only did he teach and he heal and bring change, but then he did the ultimate. He gave his life, bearing in his body the sins of all mankind, your sins and my sins. And when he rose from the dead 3 days later, he proved that he has the power to change lives to the fullest extent. We have a good king. He is a great king. When we trust him as our Savior and receive the gift of eternal life, he changes us. 2 Corinthians reminds us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But the change that Christ brings, the change Christ's presence brings, doesn't just end at salvation. We have the opportunity to daily experience his changing presence in our own lives. What a wonderful thought. From the moment we trust Christ as Savior, his presence can bring change. He can change our fear to courage, just as he did the disciples when they were afraid there on the boat. When we understand his presence with us and his power in our lives and his provision and his blessings for us, he changes fear to courage. He can change worry to trust. Proverbs reminds us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall... What's the last part? I better read that. Proverbs chapter 3. The last part just fell out of my brain. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. He changes worry to trust, and he can change our pride into humility, understanding the humility that it took for our Savior to leave the glories of heaven and to humble himself, to become a man so that he could live a perfectly sinless life and die on our behalf. It changes our selfishness to generosity, our bitterness to forgiveness, and our despair to hope, all because of his great love, his great care, and the change that he brings. But these changes don't happen in an instant. I need to rely on his presence daily. I need to walk with him. I need to grow in him and allow him to do a work and change my heart and life. I don't know about you, but as we just begin this first in a series that we're going to look at the next few weeks, I'm so thankful for his presence. I'm thankful for the fact that he desires to live within the hearts of mankind. What a thought that he lives within us, that he desires to offer forgiveness and cleansing for all of our sins. What a wonderful thought that at this Christmas season we can not just be aware of the greatest gift, but we can introduce others. We can share this great gift with others. And it's always, it's got to be mind-boggling when we think about the fact that Jesus came not to a world that accepted him, not to a world that prepared or celebrated his birth, but to a people that would wholeheartedly reject him, that were not looking for him, that were not aware of his presence. But he still came and he still lived. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't righteous. We weren't holy. We weren't seeking after God. In fact, our relationship with God had been destroyed by sin. And he came to reconcile us back to him. What a wonderful gift. This baby in a manger. That Jehovah God came to us. And even today, he offers us the gift of his presence. Those first few folks that were invited into the presence of Christ in the manger were the shepherds and Mary and Joseph. And they went on their way rejoicing, Luke tells us. And they did that because they'd been in the very presence of God. Being in his presence changes us. It changes us. This year, as we think about this Christmas season, as we decorate the house and maybe you make cookies or parties or family gatherings or whatever it might be, we mustn't forget that the incredible gift that God gave when he sent his son to live amongst us. Even as we go about the hustle and the bustle of preparations and celebrations, we have to understand that we can still take our burdens to the Lord. We can take our hurts and our heartaches and our fears and our needs to the one who cares for us like no other. Remember this as he introduced to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. This is Emmanuel. This is God with us. He understands our needs. He understands you. And he is a very present help. One author pointed out that Christmas isn't about presents, but about his presence. Christ's presence actually is a gift. It's the greatest gift. It's the reason that we celebrate Christmas. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful time that Jesus would come into a sin-darkened world and bring light and life to all who would believe on him today. If you've never done that today, today would be the greatest day to receive that gift of salvation today. As we stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I don't know about you, but oftentimes, I know I've been in this situation that we mentioned in the middle of the message this morning where Christmas isn't always a joyful time. There are difficult times. There are people hurting around this time of the year, and it might be you today. I want you to know that you can turn to your Heavenly Father. You can trust his presence in your life and in your storm and in your trial and in your heartache. He's there for you. He's promised he'll never leave you or forsake you. Oh, today, I wish we could today just get a hold of that thought, that the reality of his presence in our lives. I know it would change the way that we lived and the way that we treated one another, the way that we acted, and the way that we served him. The greatest gift this morning, the gift of his presence, Emmanuel, God with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Be with this invitation as you've spoken to hearts. May we respond appropriately, diligently, and obediently this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross, to live in a world like this, a sin-sick world, the world that we live in with all of its faults and failings. And you did that on our behalf. What a wonderful gift. There's no greater gift has ever been given on our behalf than the gift of salvation. Be with us a few moments this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.